Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. I'm your host, Rick Campos. This podcast episode is sponsored by Design Biz Assistant, our latest contribution to the design community. This new and exciting program offers one-on-one business support to professional designers just like you. Do you need help balancing management and creativity as it relates to your interior design business? Is there a business program that you've been meaning to implement, but you just can't find the time to roll it out? Design Biz Assistant just might be your solution. To learn more, visit our website, designbizsurvivalguide.com, and click the consulting tab for more information and to schedule your consultation. Now on with the show. Today, we welcome Erica Bryan, principal designer and owner of Erica Bryan Design. In this episode, Erica shares her passion for interior design and her longtime role as buyer for one of Orange County's premier to the trade showrooms. We also talk about the reality of client relations, how she leverages her association with the showroom to streamline her design business, and her real-world advice to design professionals about knowing your value and standing your ground. Let's get started. So let's start by talking about you a little bit. If you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your business and how long you've been designing.
My name's Erica Bryan, and I have been on my own with Erica Bryan Design for about 12 years. I worked and had my own design firm before that, but it was a part-time thing. I worked for a showroom called Designer Resource Collection, and it's in Costa Mesa, California. It's a wholesale trade showroom. And I have worked there and been their buyer for, I think it's over 17 years. Mm-hmm. I started at another showroom that was also in the Stonemill Design Center. And I started working here. They took me from there because the other company was closing. The people were getting divorced and they were moving. So it kind of worked out like that. I got started, I wanted to be an interior designer when I was a very, very little girl. I would ask for magazines when I was really little. I would, when my parents would leave or I'd have a babysitter, I'd change around my entire house. I would get my entire body wedged between the wall and move furniture.
Oh my gosh.
I would, every birthday, every Christmas, ask for new pillows or to get my room wallpapered.
Right.
I always wanted stuff for my house. It was like that since I was little. I have a lot of interior designers in my family. Mm-hmm. My whole family's from back East New York. I was raised here in Newport Beach, but my uncle Alan was a very huge designer. He was in Architectural Digest many times. My aunt was in Architectural Digest. I have four cousins that do interior design.
Oh my gosh.
So I think it's kind of in our blood.
For sure.
My dad is a builder, and my mom had a showroom. Mm-hmm. And I worked at that showroom in high school, and I also did model homes for my dad growing up and worked at the model homes. I even had to go out, and in the mornings I would drive far away every weekend and go put signs in the side of the road. Uh-huh. They would even make me wave the signs sometimes, be the corner girl.
You were that girl?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just loved it. No. And I helped decorate the houses with my mom. I helped work them. And after we were done with the models, we would sell all the stuff at my mom's showroom.
Oh, I see.
So I learned to sell there. And then I started buying for my mom's store. Probably when I was pretty young, I would come in on weekends and help her do it. And I kind of just knew buying is one of my favorite things. So
wow,
that's kind of how I got interested in it.
It definitely runs in the family. It's definitely in the blood. There was no way you were going to be a veterinarian.
No, definitely not. I don't like
the blood. Writing was on the wall.
Yeah. So that's kind of my background.
Awesome. Wow. That's amazing. And I was actually wondering, as I was kind of mentally preparing for our conversation, I wanted to ask you, like, Erica, did you know you wanted to be a designer since you were a little girl? Or was it something that came to you later in life? And I was thinking, like, when the little girls wanted to be princesses, were you saying, no, I want to be a designer? And you just kind of, it's like you read my mind.
I always thought I would be, honestly. I really wanted to be. I didn't know if it would go that way, but I knew I wanted it, always in my blood.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow, that's great. And so your work is primarily here in Newport Beach, California?
Mm-hmm. Yes, primarily, yeah.
And you specialize in new construction, remodels, all of the above?
Yeah, mostly ground up and remodels. Mm-hmm. I will do a house with just furniture, but that's that's more what we get now is actually ground up and remodels.
Right.
I like them because it's, you get to put more of your ideas and see your idea all the way through. Mm-hmm. Cause when you come in and the house is already built, it's just really nice to be able to be there from the very beginning and get hired around when the architect does, and you guys can work together and see how it goes and all your ideas in the end, you can see the whole thing come together. So I really like that part.
Yeah, I think that's a natural progression for designers as you've been in the industry for 10, 12, 15, 16 years or whatever. It's one thing to start off small with the furnishings, and it's probably the right thing to do to kind of get your feet wet and understand the business. But at some point, I realize it's like, the house is great, but I wish I would have had more say in those countertops and that backsplash tile and maybe even the configuration of this room. Why is that wall there?
Yeah.
So by transitioning into the construction aspect, which takes time and you've got to learn that.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. I see it's probably like newly fulfilling. It's like the second act, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best part about it too is you have a lot more control. Uh-huh. And it's sometimes people think it's so expensive, but sometimes it can be even more expensive to come in halfway and try to change things. So I think it's really great to get the designer involved right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that way they can work together and there's not as many mistakes and it's, you can plan more. Another really nice thing about it is you can pre-buy your items. So you can, even though your house is getting worked on, you have all your tile ready. You have the slabs picked out. You have the wood. And everything is there so it doesn't slow down the contractor. Sometimes contractors get slowed down because the stuff isn't available or you've waited too long to order it. So I think the sooner the better that you get both people involved and place your orders, that it will keep it rolling and it will be smooth.
Right. That is such good advice. And I hope designers are listening. I hope, you know, emerging design professionals and even professionals who are looking to transition into that kind of construction world, it's never too soon to be on board. It's all fine. You show up and the house is done, but it's a missed opportunity. So, coming on board early is so important. And you're right. It expedites that building process. And that building process can be frustrating. That's what's taxing for the client. You want them to be happy through that process. So when you get to the interiors, it's an extension of a good experience. So, you know, you can never be too prepared.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's expensive. It takes a toll on your marriage. It takes a toll on your bank account. You're living somewhere else. But I think if you, like you're saying, if you're prepared and you have the right people, mm-hmm. and I don't mean this really, but I feel like designers get blamed a lot for the problems.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to throw it on us. We're the last people to get paid. We're the last people that get yelled at. And I know that designers, it's hard, but you just got to embrace it. And sometimes people are just, they're so stressed out and they can be moody or angry or cranky, but you just have to kind of keep going with a smile on your face. And like I said, just keep everything, be super organized, mm-hmm. and always, always, always try to have as much done as you can and purchase so that you can say, hey, this part's done to the contractor. I don't know what the problem is here.
Right.
Everything's good. I'm done on my end.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to redirect your concern to your builder.
Yeah. So I know it's a hard process.
You make a good point, though, because we do tend to be, as a designer, we tend to be the point person no matter what the issue is. And I think a part of it comes from it's different when they hire the architect and when they hire the builder. For some reason, the designer becomes their buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you
so
become
they're
part
the
of their
person
family.
That they trust. And sometimes even if it's not directed at you, you've got to hear it all.
You do. It's almost like how I feel like hairdressers become therapists.
Yes.
And they hear things and you do kind of. And you also are the point person between husband and wife a lot and mm-hmm. breaking, you know, softening it up of one likes gold, one likes silver. You're kind of in the middle. Who do you go with? And you have to really, really try to make both of them happy.
Right.
So that can be hard sometimes too, but I do love that part, you know, and you get to know people and it is exciting to bring out their personalities. And I think it's really important. A lot of designers, they're really worried always about their style, but they also need to remember that these people are paying you and you're doing their house. And it's not always exactly how you see it because they live there and the people want to make them happy because in the end mm-hmm. they're the ones who are going to refer you and they're the people that are paying you. And I think a lot of people get so caught up in their own style and you need to be yourself and put your style, but sometimes you also need to fold a little bit so that people are comfortable and happy.
Yeah,
I think that's something that took me a long time to learn in this business. Uh-huh. And it's not always going to turn out exactly how you want it to be perfect, but you can make it beautiful for them. If that's kind of something that I've really had to learn.
Right, right. No, that's important. And, you know, people always ask me, they're like, okay, I want to go to design school. You know, do you have any recommendations? Should I minor in something else? What else should I study? And I always say business. And then that's great. Also say, maybe psychology wouldn't hurt.
That is such good. That's a good one.
Definitely wouldn't hurt, because there will be a little marriage counseling in your future.
100%. I mean, literally all the time.
Yeah. I'm not joking. And I know you're not either.
I am not.
So Erica, let's backtrack just a second, because I want to talk about your association with the showroom. So you had mentioned that you had worked in a showroom for many, many years, and you do the buying for a showroom, which I think is incredible. And for the listeners, that's actually how we met.
That's so exactly how we met.
My first job while I was in design school was working in a trade showroom, because I saw a great deal of value in understanding how the business of design actually worked. Because
which was very smart of you.
It's a second career for me. I knew nothing about it. So I jumped into the trenches. And you guys were so nice to me and taught me so much, and I appreciate it. But ever since then, I've always been intrigued with your connection to the showroom. And so if we can talk about that and how that has helped kind of guide and build your business model, that would be really cool to hear.
I worked for a couple different designers, which I think is so important. In school, you learn stuff, but you just learn basics. I definitely think in the design field, and I always expect people and think it's great to go to school, but definitely one-on-one with a designer or working for a showroom is how you are going to learn and understand everything. This business, I would say the number one thing, you have to be a multitasker.
Oh yeah.
You have to be able to wear a bunch of different hats. Working at Designers Resource Collection definitely taught me those hats and how to keep myself organize, understand a little better of how people work, and understanding how this world works. There's so many moving parts to design. So at the showroom, we carry anywhere from furniture to lighting, rugs, tons of accessories. It's such a great place to come because everything is marked retail and you can memo, which means that you can take things out and try them for 3 or 4 days in your clients' homes. There's many girls that work here, and we carry a little bit of everything from every different line of showroom. So we might show a couch from one company, a dresser from another company, and it's to show you the quality of the product. Mm-hmm. One of the lot of things that people don't understand when they shop retail, that it's kind of, you get what you get. Here, you can customize so much down to finish and size, and they do custom stuff. You can change shades. We do custom rug styles. They sell wallpaper, fabrics. So it's such a great place to come, and coming in here and using the girls that work here to teach you how this place is and how much it has to offer. I think a lot of people are so caught up all the time on trying to get everything cheaper online, or run to here, or run to there.
Or maintain their own accounts.
And maintain their own accounts. Which I don't even understand. Sometimes I get it. You make a little bit more sometimes. But the showrooms actually, they handle the ordering, the processing, the receiving. If you have damage, which we all know damage is the biggest nightmare in the world, It takes up hours of your time, and you can't charge a client for a damage. They handle all this here for you. So it's actually amazing. And maybe you make 5% less, but in the long run, you might be making 20% more because someone has helped you facilitate the entire thing.
Absolutely.
It's super important. I've really learned the hard way in my life sometimes with that. Also being on this end of it, there's a lot of work that goes into receiving and opening and checking and the damages. I've done everything here from tagging to buying to merchandising. You've seen me. I did it all. And I think a lot of people don't realize in this business, if you are starting out, you have to get your hands dirty. It is, everyone thinks it's so cute and you shop all day, and it's not. It's a lot of work. And it's really rewarding in the end, but it is hard to get there. So I think people should look a little more into the showrooms. Mm-hmm. And these people are also paying to stock the stuff, and you can come here and your client can sit in it. And it's like, it's supporting each other.
Right.
And being in a whole group and helping each other. And I really think if people use showrooms a little bit more, they'll get to see that.
Yeah. I've talked to other designers who have described their relationships with their favorite showrooms. And their level of partnership with these showrooms. And they've taken it almost to a point where their showroom has become like their purchasing agent almost. And this is a really good example of that. First of all, the number of lines. There's just no way a design firm can maintain this many lines, open accounts for one. And then for two, like you said, all of the service that comes along with it. I mean, I would much rather be charging my billable rate at the job site than being back at my office on the phone arguing about a chip and a coffee table and how we're going to get that fixed. You know what I mean? I would much rather have the showroom deal with that. Call me when it's ready.
Yeah. And you know, you have to understand too, the showroom, they fly me out to every show. Mm-hmm. So I'm going out there and I'm seeing stuff and I'm picking stuff and we're getting, they constantly are updating to keep you with the newest things and to show you what's out there. So that's another nice thing is you're feeling and touching something in person. I've ordered so many things online, especially rugs. They never come in the right color. You're so stressed out. Your client doesn't like them. Can you even return it?
Right.
At least here, you know, you're getting a chance to see it or a sample. I'm not saying that you can't order things on your own. I'm just saying that people should go and check it out. And I think they'll really understand and they'll get more out of it. And I think their sales will go up.
For sure.
If you can bring a client into a showroom and sit them and touch it and feel it, when I get people in here, my sales are large. I get huge sales. People are comfortable. They've seen it and they know it. And there's no problems in the end. They know what they're getting.
Yeah. They know what's going to show up at their house. They've already sat in it. They know they like it. They can't wait to have it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the buying a little bit because you just made a really good point. You know, you go from show to show. You buy for the showroom, which is incredible because that obviously gives you a great amount of exposure to all of these different product lines. And I think that's one of the number one challenges in our business is we do a lot of sourcing sight unseen, and we always want to instill that level of trust with the client that the quality is going to be up to their expectation. So you kind of have the luxury of buying and seeing. And I think every designer should get out there and see and go to these shows. Rather you're buying a ton or not, just being around these products and knowing what you're specifying and understand what the quality is going to be when it comes in is really important.
And I really care about quality. You know that working here, they call me Eagle Eye because I get really upset about things that other people, and these guys sometimes, you know, the guys that, you know, they don't know. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this looks okay to you? I'm so confused because there's a giant mark. Another thing that I want people to understand about showrooms and me, so sometimes you might come in and see a couple things you don't like. This is for everybody. I try to put a little bit on the floor for everybody. Mm-hmm. There are younger to older demographic of people shopping here. There are traditional, they're super modern. There's boho. There's, you know, very eclectic. I really try to do a good job of facilitating to get different styles here.
Right.
And so that each person can come in and see. I go to these shows. I really, really try to buy things that I think are a little bit different. We have such a great amount of accessories here. We sell hundreds of accessories. To be able to come here, grab them, return them. So when I go to the shows, I spend, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, looking for the different items and definitely really work on the quality. I'm really, really, really try to do that. It's so important for me. And I try to find things that are a little different that you're not going to see every single place. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people around here, they're so worried what their neighbor has and they're all trying to keep up. And I'm always confused by that a little because I'm going to pay a designer. I want my house to be rad. I want people to come and go, oh my God, where did you get that? That is so cool. Right. I've never seen that.
Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes when I work up in LA or different states, people are like, I want my house to look nobody else's. And then here, a lot of people are like, did you see my friend's house? I want those curtains and I want this. And right. I'm like, you guys, what? No, no, I am not copying. I can name 4 or 5 designers that, that I on Instagram with every day. And my client's like, oh my God, did you see she did this? I'm like, it is amazing, but let's do something new.
Right.
So that's what you're paying me for.
Totally.
I want your house to be completely off the wall, different, at least even if it's just something. So I do try to go to the shows and get you guys something different. And I think that's why people should come in here a little bit too, to see different styles. And maybe the best thing about a showroom too, is maybe you have a client that wants a little different style than you're used to.
Right.
Walk into a showroom, feel her out, see what she likes, see what she gravitates towards. It is actually really helpful.
Yeah. I like that about this showroom is that there's so many different styles here and you can walk in with a client and be like, hey, listen, this is an exploratory mission.
Yeah.
I just want you to point out to me what gets you excited.
Exactly.
It can be anything.
Or even what you don't like, just show me.
Or even what you don't like. Sometimes that's even better.
Sometimes they only know what they don't like.
Right. And that's okay too, because you're still halfway there.
Yes.
So how much time, how do you divide your time up between your association with the showroom and doing your interior design for your clients?
I take the time to go to the shows. I usually spend a few hours a week working on this showroom. Mm-hmm. I do work on it every day. I get lots of emails a day about the showroom. A lot of reps want to meet with you and show you their new stuff. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely slammed every single day of my life trying to mix it. I have days where I'm like, how am I doing both of these things? But I really love the involvement of getting to learn and seeing what's out there first and getting to see different things. And I think it only makes me a better designer to be involved in a showroom and to see how it works and understand where they're coming from and to understand every day. And it helps me keep up on trends.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's a lot of competition around here. I feel like I live in an area with very talented men and women. Instagram can be the death of you because it's exhausting to keep up. Anyone who says it's not is crazy. I do mine myself, so maybe it's just a lot, but it's also feeds you so much beautiful information and so many ideas. I get so many ideas from the people around me, and I'm so like in awe of how talented human beings are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I love that. And I feel like we all should help each other and embrace each other. And I feel lucky to have friends that I call designers that I can call and ask, or, hey, you know, I'm friends with Ashley from Scout. Like, I love her. She's so fun and I adore her. And I can just call her and say, oh my God, I'm so confused. Like, how did you handle this? Or how did you do this? Or how did you get where did you get that? So
right.
I'm just using her as for instance. I'm very good friends with Natasha. She owns the DRC showroom in San Diego.
Oh, right.
And we're buddies, and she's just a ball of energy, and I love her. And it's just nice to have someone to bounce that off of. I feel like I feel like some people are in competition, and you don't need to be. There's plenty of business, and you're gonna get your minute, and you're gonna get your day. And I feel like we should all just be sweet and help each other.
Yeah, amen to that.
I love other people and getting their ideas, and they only give me knowledge, whether it's good or bad. I'm learning something from every designer that I know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that you said that. I mean, that's the whole foundation for this podcast, is really having that network, having that tribe of people that you can rely on and that you can communicate with and that you can share openly.
100%.
And, you know, that tribe is not going to consist of 100 people, but you need that small circle of allies. And, you know, I call fellow designers allies. I don't call them competition. No. I don't use that word. I think that we're all allies and that we're all kind of in this together.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I hope it can be even more like that in the future, for sure.
For sure. I see it going that way.
Me too. No, there's so many great people around here.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I'm kind of diving in hard right now, because I like where this design community is going. I like that it's kind of transitioned from this industry to a community, and it's more personable. And that makes me happy.
I think it's so great that you're doing this, especially because you did work in a showroom and you worked for an amazing, huge designer. He does a great job, and I can't even imagine how much you did for him and learned with him. And so you're the perfect person to understand to be doing this. So I'm so happy that you are.
Thanks. I think it's really cool. Thank you. So let's get down to the big questions.
Okay.
Starting with the secret of your survival. So that's really what the whole podcast revolves around, is learning about different designers and their secret to survival, which really means kind of your secret to success. Like, what is that one thing that has gotten you here and that's going to keep you on your journey?
I'll be super honest. I think I'm super type A. You've worked with me. I'm a crazy nutball. I don't sleep and I become obsessed with things. So, first of all, I like design. That was one of them. I don't know if I'm, you know, there's some designers that designs are just out of this world. I will tell you the hardest thing in this business, I believe, for designers, because a lot of them are very artsy, you got to be on top of your paperwork. Mm-hmm. This is numbers, money, and I'm good at both.
No one turn off this episode now. Yeah. Keep listening.
This is girls, boys, do not be robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
Don't spend the money that you made on the job until if you are getting in this business, save some money first. Some of your clients won't pay you for 3 months. I think I am very on top of it. I think I worked my ass off to get here. I am not going to lie. Right. I made a lot of sacrifices of doing things with my friends and not going places. It has paid off. But I really think that at the end of the day, I kept up on both sides of it. I kept up on the design. I kept my clients happy. Everything I have is a referral. That's where I get all my business. It's 99.9%. Maybe now Houzz and Instagram a little bit, but I didn't even have that stuff when I started.
Right.
So I think to be successful in this business, keep on top of that paperwork, keep on top of that billing, keep track of what you're spending.
Right.
Because it's hard.
Business.
It's so hard. And because these girls, a lot of them, that's what they're so great at the design and the art part. But it is so hard. You got to do your paperwork and be out there selling it. Also, it's a sales job.
Yes.
It is. You are selling at the end of the day. People are like, it's design. No, it's sales.
Thank you for saying that.
It is. It's business 101. It's sales.
Yeah.
It's the whole pack. You got to have at least put the whole package. If you have not taken a business class or you are not good at math, get someone to help you with that part.
For sure.
It's okay if you're not.
For sure.
Get help.
Yeah. You can't be everything, but you at least need to understand what that package is, what the contents of that package are, and then either do it all yourself if you're crazy, or begin to build your team based on your weaknesses.
Yes. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. I'm very strong with people. I'm strong with math. Don't ask me to barely spell my own name though. Like you write a letter, I'm like, can someone please proofread this? Can you look at my email? So I know what I'm good at and what I'm not. But I really think at the end of the day, I want to look back at my life and I want to be proud of myself. Mm-hmm. I want to think I did my best and I tried my hardest. And that's what keeps me going every day. I don't need to be the top, top person. I don't need to have the most money, but I want to have done something and be proud of it.
Right.
And that's what keeps me going, honestly.
Awesome. That's awesome. I appreciate the fact that you own your type A personality.
Well, yeah, I can't, you know me, dear Lord.
At this stage of the game, just own it.
Yeah, I do. I'm a little crazy.
What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then?
I wish I knew I'll be honest, I didn't know how hard this was going to be. I didn't know the road and I didn't know what it took. Mm-hmm. I also wish going in this, I'd like to say this to girls that are younger and men that are younger that are trying to do this. Don't let people take advantage of you. I worked a lot of time for free. I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. I probably was nervous and scared a little bit to charge what I should have been charging. So I feel like I did a lot more work than I needed to, and I was afraid to say, oh, this costs this and this costs that. I think I gave too much away. It's okay. It's okay to charge. You might need to charge less, but it's okay to say no. And don't be intimidated by people that are powerful and they have a lot of money when they hire you, because they will push you in a corner sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you stay on your ground. Stand your ground. And the number one thing I can say is get retainers.
Yeah.
Because if you're out there charging hourly and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, I had a lot of people promise to send checks and it takes months and it takes months. I learned pretty early, I get retainer, which for those you don't know, is that you get paid ahead of time. I guess like a lawyer, mm-hmm. you know, get your, whatever it is starting out, your $1,000 retainer, and you work off of that. And when it's done, you get another one before you keep going.
Right.
That's my number one. And don't be afraid to ask people for money and get paid.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but it's really
true. It doesn't
sound
weird. This is business. This is a business. And I think design professionals constantly have to remind themselves that, yes, it's very creative. It's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding, but it's still business. And you can never really lose sight of that, because that's when things like what you just described begin to happen. You know, people aren't paying you. They're taking advantage of your time. They're not being respectful of your time because they're not looking at it as a business relationship. And so it's that constant kind of balance. You're constantly trying to keep it balanced.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you're younger, don't be afraid to ask questions and you interview your client back. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was younger, I feel like I had some maybe people interviewing me or wanting me to work that really weren't interested in my interior design part. So don't be afraid to ask people back, hey, what is it that you want to do here? You know, what is your end goal? You know, what is your budget? Mm-hmm. And maybe give them some ideas and numbers of costs, so and give them back so you know that you're not wasting your time or their time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. 100%. And Erica, how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community? I like asking that question because I feel that every design professional has a responsibility to the design community to kind of pay it forward. And we've already talked about community and networking and being allies and that type of thing. But how would you say you do that?
I have two ways that I feel like I do that. The number one way is I try to be extra helpful to any designers that I meet in the showroom or on Instagram or ask me questions. I try to be very open about where, for another designer, where I got something, how it can help them, what's a better priced way to do this, because I'm very knowledgeable of products. So I get a lot of questions about where product came from. Mm-hmm. Number two, I try to be very open in my design firm. The girls that come in, I'm try to teach them every step. I don't hide anything. I'm open about the financial part, how I got there, how I did it. Instead of each girl working in an area, I let them work on all areas. A lot of the girls that have worked with me are now their own designers and have gone on to have their own design firms. And I try to be very supportive in that, especially to the ones that have worked hard and deserve it. So that's how I try to pay it forward. I try to be really open and let them to get other people to start their businesses and start to live the life that they are trying to achieve.
Right. And that they deserve, that
they've
worked
for. That they
totally
deserve, yes.
I'm so glad that you kind of embrace that mentorship, for lack of a better word, because it's a reality of our business. It happens. And, you know, there's no sense in, you know, being bitter about it. I mean, if anything, it should be a compliment to you that you were able to share information and instill a sense of knowledge and value in someone to the point where they're able to go out and do their own thing.
Yeah, I worked for a few people and it was completely the opposite. And I was really sad. And I feel like a lot of people didn't try to better me. Mm-hmm. So that's super important to me because I think I would have been a lot more successful faster if maybe some people put an arm out to help me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. Well, Erica, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be a part of the podcast. Thank you for sharing so openly. How can we learn more about you? What's your website? What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Erica Bryan Design. My name is E-R-I-C-A-B-R-Y-E-N. That kind of confuses people sometimes. I have a website. It's, www.ericabryandesign.com. And I'm local in Newport. And thank you so much. I've known you for a while and you're just the sweetest guy and I adore you. So thank you so much for taking the time and letting me be a part
of
your show.
This was fun. I can't believe it took us so long to do this. It's like a reunion. Thank you.
Wow. To say that design runs in Erica's family is truly an understatement. It's literally a part of her DNA. Growing up in the industry clearly taught Erica a lot about the business of design, but as she so honestly shared, there was so much more to learn along the way. Combining her talents as a buyer with her business model for design exhibits what I constantly tell others: there are no limits to the diversity of your business model. Take the time to evaluate all of your strengths and passions and explore opportunities to incorporate them into your business. I developed the three signature questions of the podcast for a reason. I wanted to pose real, thought-provoking questions, which would prompt honest and heartfelt responses. When we got right down to it, Erica went there. I love the fact that she went straight to organization, paperwork, and money. Your design business is about business as much as it is about design. They go hand in hand, like it or not. Her message to emerging design professionals is some of our best to date. Eyes wide open, sell, sell, sell. Don't be afraid to ask for money and stand your ground. Thank you, Erica, for keeping it real. If this podcast was helpful to you, the very best thing you can do is pay it forward and share it with fellow classmates, design professionals, and anyone else you think may benefit. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to rate the podcast and leave a review. This really helps us become more visible to the design community. For you design professionals interested in our new Design Biz Assistant concept, visit the website designbizsurvivalguide.com to learn more and to submit your requests for a consultation. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, get out there and inspire.